Happy Wednesday of the first Wednesday of 2016. I'm Pam Stack, your host, and now we're on Authors on the Air. Welcome, everyone. You couldn't have picked a better night to come and listen to this radio show. I'm very excited to have a very, very special author with me tonight. But first, let me give a shout out to a couple people who make this show possible. I want to say hi to Robert Gregory Brown. Do you know he's a fantastic thriller and suspense novelist, but he's also a very talented musician and composer? Thank you for our theme music, Rob. I appreciate it. I also want to say hi to and thank you to Poised Pen Productions. They create swag and other business items for businesses and authors, specifically authors. They provided all of our awards for our Book of the Year recipients. I'd also like to thank Deborah Koontz, who is a fantastic novelist. She writes the Lucky O'Toole series and more. Stop by her website and check her out. And also to Dee Dee Corbett, author of The Amaretto, a Florida Keys sailing adventure, which you can find on Amazon. And I want to welcome to a new sponsor to the show, Kindle Alexander, sexy hot MM romance. You're going to love it. Go to her Facebook page, look up author Kindle Alexander, and thank you for being with us. I'm so excited tonight because when I was at BoucherCon this year, I had an opportunity to watch the nomination for the McCavity and then the Anthony. Chrissy Bell Camino, who is a former crime reporter out in California, I believe, and we're going to check on that, was nominated in both those categories. I think she should have won. She did not, but that does not detract from her fabulous books. Not only is she a magnificent writer, she's she readily admits she's an Italian mama, but let me tell you some of the things she's done. She's flown over Big Sur with an FA jet with the Blue Angels. I can't wait to hear about that. Raced a Dodge Viper at Laguna. I can't wait to hear about that. She's watched autopsies, conversed with serial killers. I mean, this woman has done it all. So let me please welcome to the show right now, Chrissy Bell Camino, my friend. Hi, Chrissy. Welcome to Authors on the Air.
Oh,
I'm so glad
you're
here.
Much. I'm so excited. Oh, me too.
Oh,
this is
God.
A dream come true.
I am thrilled that you are with me tonight. Congratulations on all the accolades you've gotten for all of your books. My goodness.
Oh,
and I can't believe
you
and I were like passing each other at BoucherCon and never hooked up, especially because you were talking to my roomie, Libby Fisher-Hellman.
Yeah.
How funny is that?
Yeah, that can't happen again. We're gonna definitely see each other next time.
We definitely are. Welcome to Authors on the Air. How's
you.
Your day going for you? You're welcome. I'm so glad you're here. How was your day?
Me too. My day is going lovely. I just came home. It's just starting to snow, and now I'm all snug with my glass of wine talking to you. It couldn't be better.
There you go. But except for the snow part, I love all of it. today was actually it was warmer than usual. It was 75 during the day, which means that my air conditioner actually did kick on, because those who listen know I live in Southwest Florida. It's about 61 outside right now, a clear blue sky. You can see all the stars over the Gulf of Mexico. So it's a lovely night. And it's
I think
a lovely
I'm on my
night
way.
To talk to you. Yeah, hey, there's room, baby. I got a big pull-out sofa, you know, that turns into a queen-size bed. You're welcome anytime.
Oh, that sounds great.
So listen, I'm so fascinated because, you know, you've done all these really daredevil, high adrenaline things with the Blue Angels and driving the Dodge Viper, which I'm totally into. Well, the Blue Angels, because, you know, I just like to look at the guys, and the Dodge Viper, because I am a fast car lover, a race car lover.
Ooh,
autopsies, not so much, although I saw them when I was in my training in an earlier life there. And do know actually someone who was turned into a serial killer that I went to high school with. If that's not the most bizarre thing
in the world.
We have
a lot in common, in other words.
We do. We do. Except you're crazy and I'm not. I'm not getting near them. Tell me how all of this wonderful stuff happened that you had a chance to fly with the Blue Angels.
Well, you know, most of the really exciting things that I have done were a result of being a journalist.
Right.
You kind of just get the door opened into a world that you normally, a normal person wouldn't be able to see. And that's why I could never say no to anything. It's like, well, I can't say
wow.
no to going to see an autopsy because how often do you have a chance to do that? Or, you know, how often
right.
do you have a chance to do this? So with the Blue Angels, I was very lucky that I had a great editor at the Monterey Herald, and we just got along really, really good. He hired me, and he's still one of my favorite editors to this day. We're still in touch. And
wow.
he asked, you know, Christy, do you want to, we're going to pick a reporter to go up. Do you want to go up? And I said, well, of course. Yeah, who would ever turn down that opportunity? And there were a lot of men reporters at the paper who were older who actually couldn't because of, you know, health problems. You have to pass
sure.
a physical. And I was really young, so it was, at that point, it was easy to pass things. I might not pass now. So I got to do it. It was definitely a thrill. And the funny part was that I didn't know at the time that they were videotaping. So at the end of the flight, you know, they handed me basically, it was like a VHS tape. I mean, that's how long ago it was.
Really?
And it's comical. It's hysterical. My kids look at, they watch it and they just laugh. They're like, you are so funny, Mom. Because I had no idea I was being filmed the entire time. And I was very sick. I threw up a bunch of times on camera. It was like, oh, mortifying.
What, during
but
the
I didn't
flight?
Know I was,
But yes, during the flight you did?
You know, during the, oh, Pam, let me tell you
oh,
what you have
God.
To do. So
oh, no.
you have to, they give you these little bags, and you have to use those, and then you have to tie them.
A barf bag.
Like a little,
sure.
a barf bag, basically. And you have
right.
to take like a little tie, like a sandwich baggy tie, and then you have to stick the bags in the pockets of your flight suit. Because they don't want it flying around the cabin when you go inverted
when you flip, you know, and do all that.
So, but anyway, I was mortified. We got down to the ground and I said, oh, I just feel so bad. I got so sick. And the flight instructor, he said, Christy, I wasn't going to tell you. He said, but 95% of people who go out for the first time get sick because the G-force is so
Isn't
powerful
it?
On your body. Just,
what did
like,
that feel
but,
like? What did that feel like?
Well,
I mean, did
course,
you feel like you hit
are
fine,
ahead,
right?
Sorry.
No,
well,
I want to
really,
hear.
Okay, so when you take off, that's when you really, really feel it. Like, you're just, it's the
sure.
biggest rush. There's on the video, I'm just grinning. Like, I cannot stop smiling. And you have a perspective. Like, you can see the ground dropping away, and you're just going, like, you know, however many hundred miles an hour. And then once you're up in the air, it's kind of like the old Wonder Woman show, because you're up in the clouds and you have a canopy. So there's open air, you know, the canopy goes from the glass goes from kind of your waist all the way above you to the other side. So you almost
wow.
feel like you're an invisible jet, right? Like you're Wonder Woman, like just in the clouds, you
wow.
can reach out, everything's right there, but you don't
My
know
God.
How fast you're going. You can't tell how fast you're going because There's no scale for you to do it, right. But then
right.
when you do things like, oh, hey, we're going to demonstrate negative G's, then you know, then the jet, the back of it kind of drops. And negative G's, like, I probably would rather die than have, like, really powerful negative G's on your body. It's sort of the
now,
one where you feel like your eyeballs
like
are going to pop.
Like a loop-de-loop or something? You do, like, loops and, you know, drop down real fast and things like that. Explain what negative G's are. Because there are those of us who haven't been lucky enough.
Yeah. So I don't know what – I think it's probably – I don't think it's negative G's when you do a loop-de-loop or you go in, you know, side to side.
Right.
He demonstrated the negative G's, and it's almost like letting off the gas. So the back part of the jet just sort of drops, and it that's the best way I could explain it. And it feels
wow.
like your eyes are going to pop out of your head. It's horrible.
Oh.
The loop-de-loop is interesting because you don't wear a flight suit. You don't have, like, a G-suit where it pressurizes. So they teach
right.
you this technique where you have to go, you have to make some noise to keep yourself from passing out when you are making a flip because
really?
Otherwise the G's knock you out. And there's a moment
but
on
not
the video
the,
I just go out. I just pass
pilot,
out.
Though. Not the pilot,
no,
though.
Because
I mean,
he
the
knows
pilot.
What he's doing. He's
right.
trained.
And he's
I'm, you
he's
know,
used
I'm just
to
a,
it. Right.
He's used to it. So he's up there doing the grunt noise, or what, I can't remember what we said, but you have to do this, like, you kind of squeeze your legs together and you hold on to your strap and you go, ah. And it keeps you from passing out. And I obviously wasn't very good at it. Exactly. Or in my case, just, but I passed out. Like, I, you can see me on the video.
Did
I just,
really?
Like, my head goes off to the side. Oh, yeah. It's because I couldn't.
Really?
I wasn't doing the technique properly. So,
oh, my God.
Yeah. So, but anyway, it was a once-in-a-lifetime experience. Once you do that, you're actually put on a list where you can never go up with them again. You
really?
It's a one-time thing. Yep, I will never, even if my boss, my editor, I work part-time at a paper right now, even if my boss
right.
was like, Christy, you're the one, the Blue Angels would be like, nope, you did it once, you're on our list, you're done. You only get to do it
now,
once in
your
life. Now,
is that for all of the branches that have these flying?
No, just for the Navy,
just for
the Blue Angels program. Yeah, okay. Maybe I should try to go with someone else. I don't know if I could now.
There you go.
I hope I can pass the physical.
So the really important question is, was your pilot really hot?
Oh, is it awful to say I don't even remember?
Oh, yeah, it is awful. Girl, you are not prepared for this interview. You are not prepared.
I don't know. Oh, that's so funny.
Now I want to talk to you about race cars, because I do have experience with race cars, but only quarter-mile drag cars. And I know what a Dodge Viper is, obviously. I actually almost bought one at one time.
Ooh.
But were you in a soup version, a modified version of a street car, of a street Viper, where you were on a track? How did this happen that you were racing
sure.
a Dodge Viper?
I actually think, from what you just said, that you have done more than I have done. So I'll tell you what happened. So there's a school called the Skip Barber Racing School at Laguna Seca
yes.
in Monterey. Yeah.
Yes.
So basically, they got a bunch of reporters together, and they taught us how to do all these cool things. Like they had us in the driver's seat, and then the instructor or trainer was in the passenger seat, and they gave you training, and then you race just for time. You did not race against the other reporters, sadly, which I would have loved to have, you know, kicked the TV reporter's butt, but that's
there you go.
We weren't side by side. So it was
you were in
for
a banked oval track. A track
no.
that's banked up the side
I,
or
I
on
don't
a flat
think it
track.
Was banked. I don't think it was this was a long time ago, but I don't think it was banked. No. That doesn't seem right to me. I don't know. But
okay.
But no, and I couldn't tell you if it was a souped up one or not, because I don't really know my cars or anything. But all I know is it was super fast and super cool,
okay.
and I felt like I
was it fun?
I felt like I was in a cockpit of a, you know, it was awesome. That was a rush. That was really fun.
Let's go to something a little bit more serious now, because this kind of ties in with your books, and I wonder if this was the impetus and maybe a little bit of the, I hate to say inspiration, but it may be an appropriate term for your books. You have interviewed serial killers, and that's a pretty hard thing to do, because I think that serial killers – now, mind you, I've never seen that Anthony Hopkins movie. I have never seen that because those things scare me. You know, Hannibal Lecter.
Mm-hmm.
But
yep.
I do know Florida's had its share of serial killers, including
Eileen
Wuornos and Ted Bundy and, you know, some of the others. And as I say,
yeah.
I went to high school with a guy who ended up being a serial killer. As a matter of fact, his ex-wife is one of my best friends. And imagine
wow.
that. Yeah.
Yeah,
so,
she needs to write a book.
She needs to write a book, not me. So tell me about, I know it was for research for your work as a journalist. Obviously,
yeah.
this stayed with you and was probably the impetus for writing in the style that you write. What was it like to speak to someone who is a serial killer, and would it be a name that is known to the general public?
You know, in California, yes, especially in the Bay Area, yes, he is known. He's dead now, but yeah, he was definitely known. His name was Curtis Dean Anderson, and
yeah.
And he, I definitely wrote my first book because I couldn't get him out of my head.
I bet.
He, especially when I became a mother, I moved to Minnesota and I had two little girls and they were out in the backyard playing and I would check on them. I would call them like every few minutes in a fenced backyard. I would call their names and I realized I was really not being a healthy parent and it was not normal and it was not good. And I wanted to get him out of my head. And so I sat down and wrote about it and I say I wrote my first book to purge him out of my head, and probably somewhere in the process of me writing the book, he died in prison. It was really good and healthy, and the book is fiction, but there's actual conversations that he and I had that made it into the book because I thought, I know what he says. I know how this conversation went. I can use his exact words. And the first time, I do a lot of noir at the bar here, where you go and you read at the bar, you know, you read passages.
Well, you know that we have a noir on the radio show because of Noir on the Bar.
Yes, that's right. Yes, of course.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
You've got to come do a throwdown with us sometime. Yeah.
Oh, I would love it. So the first time I read a passage from this book, I read in the character's voice and then in his voice, and I got done, and I just burst into tears and ran off the stage because it was so chilling to like put myself in, you know, read his voice, but not anymore. Now it's like, it helped me to do that. But yeah, I needed to get him out of my head. He was, I'll just say one quick thing about him. Oh, go ahead.
Well, I want to know though. I don't want you to do quick things because this is really interesting to me. And I think it defines your writing style because you got it so much and it was in your brain. What? I want to know what his demeanor was like when you spoke to him. Did you have a visceral, awful, negative reaction to him? I mean, were you chilled? Is it someone who's charming or someone who's so evil? What was it like to speak to someone? And what were his victims of choice? Because you mentioned your children, and I wonder if he was a serial killer of children.
Okay, he. When I met him, one of the chilling statements he made was, "Lately, I'm getting into smaller women, which is basically girls." But he had started out with probably teenage girls and maybe young women. So he went all across the board. There's probably, the FBI thinks maybe he has, I think, 12, 13 victims they're still trying to find. And so it's a range. And it was true by what he was arrested and convicted on. Toward the end, he was going for little girls. But he, his demeanor, this is what the hardest thing for me, Pam, was, and I put this in my book. The hardest thing for me was to go in to talk to him and to gain his trust because at the time this little girl was still missing. And so my goal was to get him to tell me if she was alive somewhere and if we could go get her, you know. And so I was trying to gain his trust. And the most disturbing thing for me was when I would leave that jail and I'd feel like I was sitting there talking to him like anybody else. Like he was not telling me all these horrible things. And that scared me. It scared me that I could just take that in and talk to him like he was as normal as me and you. And that's what started really freaking me out. Because sometimes a lot of times he would kind of joke with me and like be all, gosh, shucks, gee. And then every once in a while he'd get this look or he'd say something. And then, yeah, I'd have a visceral reaction. I'd have chills. But for the most part, he was just sort of this golly shucks, you know, oh shucks kind of guy who's trying to tell me how cool he was, basically. Because
I had an
FBI profiler tell me he thinks he's, you know, really cool and smarter than everyone else.
Well, did you see that as an act? I mean, I know that a serial killer, does not have a mental health issue. They have a personality issue. That's it's just definitely because they're so corrupt and there's something so wrong in their DNA. I recognize this. It's not like you can go and say, here, have treatment and you won't be a serial killer anymore.
No, you won't have the need. You're right, yeah.
So,
right.
So I recognize that and I understand
right.
that. First of all, I would have to go home and like shower with steaming hot water and bleach after doing that. I have all admiration
yes.
for being able to do
Pam,
that.
I felt dirty all the time. I felt dirty all the time. Every time I'd leave the jail and go home, I'd just feel so dirty, like you couldn't get it off me. It was horrible.
How many times did you speak to him in prison?
Oh, I'm thinking 20, maybe. I don't know.
Did he
I just,
ever
you know, and
admit?
He'd call and write letters. And
really? Did he
yeah.
ever admit any of his crimes?
He, you know, it's really interesting. I would always tell him, I don't believe you. You have no proof. You've never given me proof that you did these things. Show me that you did. And he's like, I don't want more charges. I don't want this. I don't want that. And I say, I just don't believe you. And I try to provoke him, basically. I say, no, I
right.
think you're just making it up. You're just trying to be cool. Or, you know, you think you're this big shot. And so one time he wrote me a letter and he said, I was in jail and this guy thought he was being really cute and he kept throwing like mustard in my eyes and throwing pee on me in my bunk at night and doing all these things. And I got really mad. So I took a pen and I poked his eye out and I thought, whatever, you know, that's his usual telling me stories. Well, in this particular
right.
letter, he included the police report from the jail where he poked the guy's eye out. So I was like, oh, I guess you really did that.
But
so,
he never actually,
you know, here's the police.
He didn't admit any of his crimes to you?
He admitted, but he never gave me specifics where I could prove it. And then it wasn't until shortly before he died that he was actually convicted of the crime that I was trying to get him to tell me about. And then he was convicted. He actually got...
Did you have to speak to anyone before you saw him? Did you speak to the FBI? Did you speak to psychologists? How did you prepare yourself to go in? And were you required to report back to the FBI or police or anybody else? Or did you need to speak to a counselor?
It's funny, at the time, I don't know how it works now, but at the time in the Bay Area, you could just show up during visiting hours and you fill out a little form and then the inmate decides if he wants to speak to you. He either approves it or denies it. And so when he was arrested, I think within a few hours or the next day, I was there trying to interview him. So I just filled out my little form and he said yes, and I went in and I talked to him. And then kept doing that. And I was not questioned by anyone. However, every single conversation that I had with him at the jail was recorded and videotaped.
Right, right. That I
So they
that
didn't
I
need to
happened.
Talk to me. Yeah, they didn't need to talk to me because they had everything
wondered,
I had said.
I just wondered, you know, did he allow other people in the media to speak to him? Or
He did.
Okay. So you have no idea what he was saying to everybody else. He could have been playing everybody and telling them different stories, right?
Yeah. Here was the big break, I guess, for me as a reporter. I was going to talk to him a lot, and I had become extremely close to the family of the little girl that we were trying to find out if he kidnapped and killed her as well. And the aunt who raised this little girl and I were friends at that point, which is totally probably unethical, but whatever. We were friends and we had spent a lot of time together.
Yeah, I'm sure.
You have to. I mean, I just couldn't stay emotionally detached from that one. And so one day I was talking to him and he basically said, yes, I took her and I will tell you everything one day. And it was the first time he said, yes, I took her. I got in my car after the interview, and I called the aunt, and I said, oh, my God, he said he did, and she said, yes, because she'd been visiting him in jail too. She said he's telling me things that only someone who had taken her knew.
But how can family do that? I don't understand. Oh, my God. Listen, I was a victim of a violent crime, okay? I didn't even want to talk to my perpetrator. And, I mean, I used to be married to the guy. He was my estranged husband. So
she wanted to find out if her niece was alive. She had real motivation. She wanted to find out if she was out there somewhere, maybe sold or something.
But a serial killer is not interested in selling children for trafficking's sake. They do whatever they do, and then they kill the child. And I don't know if I could ever do that. I don't know if I could do that. I think I would be sick. I'm a certified victim advocate. I work with domestic violence victims.
Yes,
I've been to homicides, suicides, horrible, horrible things that people have done. And it's something that you can't scrub out of your brain. You can't. It's there. It may be tucked away someplace. I'm so impressed that you came away with that. And when you started your writing career as a novelist, took that experience and transformed it into such incredibly powerful books. I want to say, David Corbett, whom listeners know, comes on this show regularly. I mean, twice, three times a year at least, he comes on and does a show. This is what he said about you. Christy Bell Camino uses her newsroom background to grand effect in this crackling, savvy debut. Insider know-how and deft detail make every page come alive, and those pages fly by as the story reaches out and grabs you by the heart. Blessed Are the Dead is a great read. Gabriella Giovanni is a one-of-a-kind character, and Christy Bell Camino is a writer to watch. So I know David, and I know David, as you well know, is a private investigator. He investigated the Jim Jones horrible thing, the Kool-Aid killing, mass suicide and all. He's an erudite man. He teaches writing and all. Congratulations on that wonderful statement from him, but no surprise to me because I know your books.
Oh, that was very generous of him.
Thank you. And it was. And, but I think he speaks truth. I mean, David's not one to give blurbs easily. And he will only do it if he truly believes that an author is really worthy. So let me ask you this. Before we get started on the next part, I just want to remind everyone, this is a trademark copyrighted podcast solely owned by the Authors on the Air Global Radio Network, LLC. I am speaking to the magnificent Christy Bell Camino. She has been nominated for every major award there is. Her books are stunningly, achingly, breathtakingly so good that your pulse practically, your heart beats out of your chest. Your pulse will not slow down until the end of the book. If you have not read her Blessed Are series, you have missed out on something big. Please call in and say hello to Christy at 347-633-9609. That's 347-633-9609. So when did you decide that you were going to turn your when, where, why, how, and so on, the five W's and the H, because I was a journalism major too. Ha, 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 and I have way more in common.
I know. We totally need to hang out way more.
I know. We do have to hang out way more. So when did you decide you were going to change and stop writing for a newspaper, although you still do it part-time? Because I imagine it's got to be a lot of fun. And you keep your foot in there, and you're kind of on top of things. But what made you decide to write a book? And I bet you I know the answer as to why you wrote the Giovanna series. Let's talk about
that. Right. Well,
let's take a call first. Before hold that thought.
Sure.
We're going to take a call.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Okay.
Good.
Great.
Hi, you're live on the air. Who's this?
This is Matt.
Hi, Matt. You're talking to Christy. Christy, in case you don't know, this is our friend Matt Coyle. I know his voice.
Oh, he's Hello, Matt.
Who's one of my favorite writers of all time.
I was hoping it was Matt Coyle, actually, when he
said that. It is Matt Coyle, indeed. Hi, Matt. How are you? Happy New Year, my friend.
Good. Same to you.
Thank you.
I do have one complaint. I wish your show wasn't in the middle of my writing sessions all the time, but I guess I'll
deal
with
that. Oh, baby, I'm sorry. I know you will. I'm sorry.
I want to know how Christy finds the time to write all these damn books.
Isn't that amazing, Matt? Matt, isn't
how many,
that
like five when, now?
Hello, when are you getting your new five books? When are you getting yours out, Matt?
It's not about
me. Talk about your new one. Yes, I saw something about it today, actually.
I know.
It's coming out in December. It's coming out in December.
Yay.
But
December? We have to wait that long?
That's true.
Just
that's
turned
a long
it in.
Time. Boo.
You know how it goes.
Okay. That's a long time.
Okay.
So, Christy,
all right, so,
how many do you have now? Is it four or five?
I have the four. The four out,
four.
Yes.
Well, you're slacking off.
I know.
I'm totally
slacking right now.
She's not.
So, I, you know, Matt, the reason I think I write fast because of journalism, like, you know, having an editor screaming down my neck and worrying about losing my job if I didn't write, there's no writer's block. It's like, all right, you sit down and you write or you lose your job. And I feel like that applies to my novel writing too, a little bit.
So how much revision do you have when you're writing fast? But because of your background, you're probably writing pretty cleanly. But do you have to do much revision, second draft?
So the first book, you know, I wrote and I thought, yeah, I wrote a book in 4 months. Right on, give me a publishing deal. And then I realized it was horrible. And so I spent an entire year learning how to write. I had to basically gave myself a home MFA on, I read all kinds of craft books and I had all kinds of people read it and tried to learn as much as I could without, you know, actually paying for an MFA on how to write. And a year later, after I finished it, a year of revision, then it was actually in decent shape where it could be, you know, shot to agents and you know, gone from there. Then my second book was so easy that I thought, well, it must be horrible because I didn't spend a year doing it. And then the third and fourth, I didn't even have time to think about revisions because I was on, as you know, you're in the same boat, on a deadline. And it's like, oh,
deadline.
Now I get to write a book on the publisher's schedule, which in this case was, I think I had 6 months to start it and finish it and turn it in. And so revisions were like, hopefully my editor is going to make it not suck, basically. So the last two books, I'd like the whole Stephen, I think it's Stephen King who says let it sit for a month. Unfortunately,
yeah.
I haven't, in my series, I haven't had the luxury of doing that with the last three books.
Don't you love how Stephen King says that because he can afford to let it sit for a month. Real writers can't.
Yeah, exactly.
I think when he's sitting for that month, he's writing another book. So
he
must
certainly
is. I was just
going
to say, he's not. He's writing like two more in that month, right? So,
Right.
I was going to say that exactly. Yeah.
Before I go,
you're not a slacker. You're cranking them out too. What's the deal? You're not. You don't have anything to.
I believe I started before you did, and I'm waiting for three to come out, and you've got four, and you're writing five now.
I love Matt's books.
I know, me too.
They're so good.
Are you a
good.
Member of some incredible writers group up in Minneapolis?
I am.
I mean,
you
got like two or three other public authors.
You know what their name is? Their name is Supergroup. That's how cool they are. And they are I dedicated my fourth book to them. I was like, I could not imagine. So, yes, there's revision. Yes, I lied. There's a little bit of revision. They read it before I send it to my editor. And I could not do it without them, honest to God. I don't know how all these other writers can just read, you know, write their books and send it off. I would be terrified to send anything off before I had these seven people read it. And they're not published yet, but every single one of them is going to be published for sure, for sure.
Wonderful. Matt, how are you doing? When are you coming back to host a show so I can sit back and listen?
Well, I guess probably December would be good.
No, I mean host a show. You interview
host.
An author. Yeah. All
right,
so
I'll
don't have
for about
to.
10 minutes.
No, you have
about
to.
10
you
minutes
have
worth
to.
Of questions.
No. You have to come back on and do an hour show, and I'll just be the tech, and you pick somebody out and come back and take the microphone so I don't have to. All right?
You know what? If you're serious,
I'm serious.
You know David Putnam. David Putnam's next book comes out, I think, in February. I don't know if that's too
soon.
Dave
and Mary
but
are the best people in the world. So, and he's an easy interview.
Well, Mary is. David's kind of iffy.
Oh, he's a doll. He's a big, tall teddy bear. He's a softy, though. You know, so why don't you, his book is due when?
I think it's just February.
So I don't have any spaces open till April. Why don't we talk and you go ahead and set up an interview with Dave. You'll do it here. I'll just be the tech. I'll sit back and listen. And Dave's a great guy. And we'll have fun. Yeah?
Okay, I got a gig.
I'll tune
in. I'm going to call in next time.
I'll tune in.
There you go. No, Matt's
listening.
I love Matt's books. So I can't
Thank
wait
you.
For you to kick one out. And then I definitely am talking to you tomorrow about this, okay?
Okay, sounds good. I continue to listen the rest of the show.
I'm
nice
glad
to talk
called
to you,
in,
Matt.
Thanks. That's author Matt
Kristen.
Coyle.
Wait, Matt. Be dating again?
Absolutely.
Oh, I put him on the spot. Yeah,
BatcherCon, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Let's do it.
You guys are going to be at NOLA, aren't you? You're going to be at NOLA, right?
Oh, yeah.
All right, good. We are making a plan. Those of us who pass each other, like in the bar over in North Carolina, we have to make a plan. Okay,
yeah,
let's do it.
Make a plan.
I know,
okay.
We did miss each other. All right, guys. Thanks, Matt.
Very cool. Thank
Bye, Matt. Talk to you later.
Bye.
Bye.
That's Matt Coyle. If you've not read his books, oh, my God, the books are fantastic. Let's see. We've got another caller.
He's an Anthony Award winner. Yeah.
He is an Anthony Award winner. Hi, you're live on the air.
Yep.
Who's this?
Hi, this you're is live? Teresa. How are you?
Hi, Teresa. Say hi to Christy Belcamino.
Hi, Christy. It's nice to meet you.
Hi, Teresa. Nice to meet you, too.
I have to say, this is probably one of the most fascinating interviews that I've listened to in a long time. I want to thank Maria, who sent me a copy of your book, Blessed Are Those Who Mourn.
Oh, wow. Cool.
You are a new reader to me, a new writer to me at that point, and you're now on my auto buy list. I absolutely
Are you
love your book.
Thank you. Oh, thank
can
you
I
so
just
much.
Can I just interject and tell you that Teresa is the head reviewer for all of our mysteries and thrillers for the Authors on the Air Global Radio Network? So can I send you?
Yes.
Can I send you her address also?
Of course. Yes. Thank
there
you.
And
I posted
a review today.
You.
I posted a review today on our site for Blessed Are Those Who Mourn.
Oh, I can't wait to see it. Fantastic.
And
I really
enjoy your books. They're greatly written. The interview tonight's been wonderful, Pam. You're doing a wonderful job tonight. And
Thank you.
Just really, really interesting, and I'm excited to be able to listen to it.
Oh, thank you, Teresa. Did you have any questions now that I have you up here?
No, I don't think I have any questions. I found out a lot of new things about you tonight that I didn't know.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I really don't think that I could do what you have done.
Christy, can I tell you a little something about Teresa? Teresa's
do,
company
yes.
is called Poised Pen Productions. She provides author swag, business information, and everything else. Teresa designed our gifts to our Book of the Year authors. She provided,
yes.
my gosh, she did beautiful mugs. with the picture
of the
book. I saw the
picture. They're fantastic.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's what that's
well, I
what
need
Teresa
to check
does.
Her out for sure.
Yes, you do. She does all of our the network's every single page that you look at. We have 15 Facebook pages. Teresa designs
mm-hmm.
all the graphics. She
cool.
does. Yeah, she's really good. She will be one who isn't. She does all of our book promotions. For the graphics. She also does, she does my personal business cards for the network. That's Poised Pen Productions, and you can go on Facebook and Teresa. She also
it
is
will
my
for sure.
She's my go-to wizard for all things IT. So
you're
Teresa,
making me get gray.
That's Teresa Ellett Russ. Go find her on Facebook, but look for Poised Pen Productions on Facebook.
I will, for sure.
You don't need to go anyplace else. Teresa, I'm so glad you called in. Thank you so much. And I'll make
yes,
sure
Teresa,
that.
Teresa, thank you.
I'll make sure
thank
she
you
has
for
your
having
address.
Me. Thank you, Christy. I really love your book.
Oh, thank you, Teresa, so much. I appreciate it. And I can't wait to check out your Facebook page and look at the products that you have. That sounds great.
She is a sponsor of tonight's show, by the way.
And when you mentioned it, I thought, oh, I need to check out that website, and I didn't even know.
Yes.
Okay, cool.
So now
cool.
you know the woman who does everything for the
who's
authors
behind
on the
it.
Global Radio Network. Yes. And
great.
I'm telling you that she does, it's so customized that it's wonderful. Thank you, Teresa.
Thank you
for
Pam,
calling,
for
Teresa.
Me.
I appreciate it.
Thank you.
You're welcome,
bye-bye.
Honey. Good night.
Oh, boy.
So I want to talk a little bit about Giovanna. I would like for mm-hmm. you to tell listeners, because we don't have a lot, we have about 15 minutes left, but it's enough time for you to say about the character of Giovanna and how you, I know because, listen, I know because you're an Italian girl. I already know that. So Gabriella Giovanni is your lead character, Gabriella.
Mm-hmm.
And I can just imagine it because I love Italy, Gabriella. I want you to talk about Gabriella and how you created her and where you think she's going.
Sure. So Gabriella is my alter ego. She's the person that I might have been in another life. She's not really like me. I mean, there's some similarities, of course, but I actually did like a personality test where I answered the questions, and then I had her answer the questions, and it was really interesting. We were polar opposites.
Really?
We were completely,
how interesting.
Completely different. Yeah, she's
how
like the extrovert, I'm the
she
introvert. Yeah, well, because a lot of people kept saying, aren't you Gabriella? And I was like, well, no, not really. I mean, every character you write, there's pieces of you in it, of course. And so I kind of did that just for myself. And then I realized, wow, she is the polar opposite of me. And maybe she's, you know, my alter ego who I would have been in a different life. And she, you know, I have an Italian family. I have a big Italian family, but I wasn't
right.
raised around them. They're all on the East Coast. They're all in Boston. Hi, Bel Caminos. They're fabulous. But I was raised in California in a smaller family. And so she's living like this life that I didn't live. And I love my life. I wouldn't change anything. But she's living this other life where she's raised around this giant Italian family. They're a big part of her life. And you know, just different things where, you know, she maybe does things that I would never do. Or so it's been really, really fun to write her and to live in her world. For instance, I could never afford to live in the part of San Francisco that I wanted to. I wanted to live in North Beach. I wanted to live right there in the heart of North Beach. I couldn't afford it. Reporters don't make enough money and
right.
whatever. So she...
Which is why I didn't follow up on journalism, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Smart. Yeah.
I went into physical therapy instead.
Yes. See how smart you are? And then you got to see autopsies anyway. Right?
That's right.
So I put her in the place where I wanted to live, you know, that I could never live. So I sort of, and also, you know, when I'm writing these books, I am a stay-at-home mom at the time in Minnesota, transplant from California, living in, like, -30 winters with two little kids. And I'm putting myself in her life. I'm like, wow, right now I'm in San Francisco and it's 70 degrees. Oh, right now I'm
right.
Pam Stack in Florida and it's 75 degrees and I'm looking at the stars. Yeah, so I'm in the middle of winter living in her world and in her
yes,
head.
Yes, but you
so
know
was,
that
you
have a place to stay, so if you want to turn into somebody else, you can come over here and there's plenty of room for you. Just have to like cats. That's the only thing.
Oh, I love cats, but I'm allergic to them. They love me.
Really?
Because they're like,
you're up the creek, baby. I got five of them. So
oh,
I guess I have to.
They love me too. They just are like.
I have to put you in a separate room when you come to visit because we'll go out to Sanibel Island in Captiva.
I'll just take a bunch of Benadryl. I'll be fine.
There you go. There you go. See, there's always a solution.
So, but that's Gabriella a little bit.
But, you know, the interesting thing to me is every author that I speak to thinks that they are introverts. And I believe they think that because writing itself, the actual writing, is a solitary mm-hmm. pursuit.
Even
though in the end it becomes collaborative. But
mm-hmm.
honestly,
right,
Christy, as long as we've been talking, you do not seem to be an introvert to me. I think you're very much an extrovert. I think you enjoy being around people, and I think you enjoy the conversation. So there's kind of that, you know, that dichotomy going on with you.
Well, I may be wrong, so please forgive me if I am, but my understanding of an extrovert and introvert and why I might say that is an extrovert gets really charged up from a group of people, like a big crowd. They're so energized and they're just like
yep.
charged up from
that
it.
Would
and they, and
yep.
when,
that would
yeah,
be me. That would be me.
Okay, so for me, like when I'm at VoucherCon, I am really, I do, you're right, I enjoy talking to people. I love being around
right.
people, but I'm also really drained from it. So I have to go and like stare at the wall for like 4 hours to get like my energy back and then to go do it again. You know, like say at a VoucherCon or event like that. So
sure.
it's not that I don't like to talk to people. It's not that I don't like to be around people, but I just I need to recharge. Like it's
so the energy in the room drains you. Where the energy in the
yes.
room it fills
yes.
me up. Okay,
yes.
I see what you're
and so
saying.
It's not that I do love people. I love talking to you know. I love this. I love talking to you. I love talking to people at VoucherCon. It's so much fun. But if I don't go, you know, look at, you know, sit by myself for a while, I don't know what would happen. I might sleep for like a week. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So that's all.
Okay.
That's all I meant by that, I guess.
I'd like to take a break right now and ask you to please tell everyone where we can find you on the web and in social media.
Sure. You know, I have, you can find my author page in two ways. My name is kind of difficult. You know, it's Christy Bel Camino. It's a little bit hard to spell. So you can also get to that same website by going to www.blessedarethedead.com. That's a little bit easier to remember. It takes you to the same place. And then I have a writer page on Facebook. You can find all that from my author page. And I'm on Twitter and Instagram and pretty much a little bit on Goodreads, but that's about it. I really enjoy interacting with people on Facebook. I have a lot of fun. I know a lot of people don't feel that way, but I just have met a lot of really cool people that way, including
you. I love
you.
That.
So, yeah, so I have nothing but good things to say about my interactions with people on Facebook. So I'm
I love
on there a lot.
All right, so I want to invite everyone to go to my profile page, which is the number four, Pam Stack. I've introduced Christy Bel Camino on there. I want everybody to go say hi, give her a shout out. I've also put her website on there for you to go and visit. And please make sure you do tell her you listened to her interview and that you want to say hi. We're running low on time, much to my chagrin, because you and I could talk all night, I suspect.
Oh, I think so.
But I didn't tell you this part. So usually at the end of my shows, I always do what I call final five. It's five quick questions and five quick answers. Are you game to play?
Absolutely.
Okay, but it's also called Stump the Author. Maybe I should have said that first. Ha. Okay.
I love it. I love it.
Gotcha. Okay. And by the way, if you're on Facebook right now and you want to go ahead and send me a PM and ask, have me ask a question of Chrissy, by all means do it, because this is Final Five. Let's go. Okay. Give me two things on your bucket list.
Oh, learning to speak Spanish fluently. And...
Sí, mi amorcita, no se preocupe.
I'm jealous. I'm jealous.
That says, yes, my love, but don't worry about it. Okay? And Spanish
and,
is
know,
so
I,
like Italian, so you'll have
yes.
no trouble.
Yes, and I guess the other thing is I would love to live in a different country. I don't not necessarily Spain, but in a different country for maybe at least a year.
Why not Italy? Oh my God, what an incredible place to be.
Probably somewhere in that Mediterranean area would be nice.
I love that. Wonderful. Good, good, good. Let's see. Whose book's on your your nightstand right now that you're reading?
I am reading one of my newly favorite authors. I only discovered her in the last year, Chelsea Kane.
Yes!
The Night Season. Yeah, Chelsea.
Yes.
I went to John Jordan's crime-free castle, and I was
yes.
in his bedroom with my husband and a bunch of other guys, like Thuglit and all these other guys, and they were raving
oh, yes.
about this woman,
yeah.
Chelsea Kane.
Todd and everybody
Todd,
else.
Todd
yeah.
Robbins. And
oh,
I
yeah.
thought, who is this woman? I mean, these big, tough war guys are, like, bowing down to her. And I said, I must read her. So I am
yes.
a big fan of Chelsea Kane.
Oh, good. I'm so glad. Congratulations. That's great. I love it. okay. If you couldn't be a writer, a journalist, what would you like to do? What's
I
your,
would
like
to be – I would have liked to
yeah.
have been a photographer.
Really?
A photojournalist. I mean, still in newspaper. Yes. Yes. I would have loved that.
How very cool. So when you're writing, do you need to have a quiet space or can you have music going in the background and candles burning and you're drinking coffee or wine or what is your writing space sound like?
You know, it can be one of two things. It can be absolutely dead silent, which works, or my second favorite thing is cafe noise. I love white noise. I love being in a coffee shop writing. That, you know, they actually have an app that you can download that will play cafe noise because they've shown that it, like, sparks your creativity, and I really believe that. And, of course, there's the coffee to go along at the cafe.
Right, well,
so
I'm picking the scent and the noise and the people, the visual and all that,
mm-hmm.
you know, the tactile, everything.
Yep, I love that.
Matt Coyle and I are going to write a book about your life. What are we going to call it?
Oh, gosh, everything I want to say involves the F-bomb. So
there you go. And you can say that on this show, and it's great. I love that. Okay, bonus.
What the F is wrong with her?
There you go. Bonus points. Here you go. Here's your bonus question. Chrissy, what have you learned about yourself as an author since you've been an author? What did you learn about yourself?
Oh, you know, this is an easy one. We talked about the introvert-extrovert thing, and
yes.
I'll try to make this really brief. But say, like, I'm thinking, like, 15 years ago, my brother and sister-in-law got married, and I had to go up and, like, read something in front of, like, the
right.
church. And I nearly passed out from fear. It was horrible. It was the worst thing ever. And then I became an author, and I was asked to do the noir at the bar, and I'm, you know, reading it. And I just learned I can do this. I can put on this author hat, and I can go and read my work, or I can get up in front of people and talk, and I am shocked by it. I'm still, like, amazed, because that's so, you know, for 40 however many years, I was mortified about the thought of doing that. And I learned
I love that.
Not only
I love that.
Not only can I do it, I kind of like it. which is
I love that. What a great thing. Now, I want to tell you a little about Noir at the Bar, because I love that group of individuals, and we really had a bonding experience at BoucherCon this year. And I love crime fiction. I love noir, all of it. So Skid Row Chatter is our noir show with host Tom Pitts. Tom wrote our novella of the year, Knuckleball. He's also written Piggyback and Hustle, great noir books. So what we did, I'm also the executive producer of the network, and so we created a show called Noir on the Air. And so Ed Imar and Eric Pruitt and Michael Poole and Angel Cologne are all guest hosts, and it's a revolving thing. But Angel is in charge of something called Dames in the Dark. We're doing only women flash fiction throwdowns. Are you game to come and host a show?
Sure. I don't know what
you
it
got
involves,
it.
But yes, I'll do it.
You sure. got it. You got
tell
it.
Tell me what to do.
I will tell you. Ladies and gentlemen, okay. Christy Bell Camino, McCavity and Anthony Award nominee. It is the Blessed Book Series. Incredible. Oh, my gosh. If you're not reading her books, you're making a big mistake and you're missing out on so many. I have to tell you that I follow reviews quite a bit, and I look at author pages on Amazon. Christy has 9 times out of 10, even more than that, I have to tell you, been a 5-star reviewed author, and rightly so. Christy Bell Camino, I want you to come back and host a Dames in the Dark throwdown, but I want you to come back and also host a show. Get somebody you like and interview them, okay?
Ooh. Okay, great.
Wouldn't that be fun?
That sounds wonderful. That would be so much fun.
Okay. And Friday, I'm going to be talking to Nancy Cole Silverman, who writes mysteries. And then, what a lineup we have for the following week. In the meantime, Christy Bell Camino, my dear friend, I love you, and thank you for being on the show with me.
So wonderful. Thank you so much. Oh, I had such
my
a good time.
My pleasure. Come back, will you?
I will. Thanks, Pam, so much.
Okay.
This is wonderful.
Thanks, Christy. Have a good night. Kiss the girls for me. Talk to you soon.
I will.
Okay, baby. Good night.
Bye-bye.
And thank you so much for listening. And thank you, Mom and Dad. Good night, everyone.